In Jesus' name, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this love, Lord, that does not let us go. Lord, thank you. It's what draws us. Thank you. It's what's becoming our own. How great a love we are loved with. Lord, thank you that we're here to know that love. And not just to know it on a surface, but Lord, to know it in every dimension and beyond. And Lord, you said that we would know the love of Christ. And it does pass knowledge. But I'll tell you, as you've encouraged, it sure doesn't pass faith. And I thank God you've given us the faith to believe it. And Lord, help us to go on a little bit more in believing in that love today, that it's for each and every one of us individually. That Lord, as they sang, you've given us a crown. We were born, praise God, to have it, to wear it. Lord, to reign with it forever and ever with you. And Lord, it's all because of love, and it truly is a love crown. It's the intimacy of the love of Christ for his bride. Lord, we're in that age, we're in that time. Help us to enter in, to fully enter in, believing completely in the love, the great love wherewith we are loved. And we give you the praise, the honor, the thanks, and glory now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis 37. That's Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to pick this up right where Joseph's brothers, they conspire to kill him. And they eventually sell him into slavery. And in Genesis 37, here's what they're concocting in verse 18. And when they saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. These were his brothers. This was his family. This was his blood. This is who he grew up with. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, praise be to God. We know what became of Joseph's dreams, don't we? They all came true. And they weren't dreams like we think of dreams. Joseph's dreams, as we know, were the Word of God. Thanks be to God. What do you dream about every day? I dream about, praise God, my promises. What's been laid out for me. What God has caused me to see in His Word that is for me. And we come in here and praise God, it's for you. And I thank God we know it's for us because of us in Christ and Christ in us. And we thank the Lord. The reason that they all came true for Joseph was because of how he responded. And how God knew he would respond. And you know how he responded? He persevered. He persevered. He didn't waver in believing God. He did not withdraw from faith. He was abused. He was left for dead. He was abandoned. He was sold into slavery, yet he trusted God and he reigned. He reigned. There's always a purpose in trusting God. And we see that throughout all of the testimony that we have in this precious truth. This precious truth, this as we know, as Paul was given that hidden mystery, yes, we go right at it each and every time. Because that is what the Lord in this time is for. It's not for us to be standing before a throne with palms in our hands. It's this crown gospel that he has given to us that we hold. And hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Not taken a palm, your salvation could never be taken away anyways. And that's not for you. We have the crown gospel. And he's given that to us. And praise be to God, as Joseph believed God, God gave him that dream. And that dream that Joseph gave him, those brothers are all going to bow down before you. And those brothers came in and they all bowed down before him. Where are we? By the grace of God, I believe the Lord has already encouraged us. Are we after, by the grace of God, to be in that church of Philadelphia? Well, let me tell you what that dreamer's promise is. I will make known to all that I have loved thee. I will have them of the synagogue of Satan come down and bow down and worship before thy feet. Job lost everything, didn't he? Could you imagine, and God forbid any of us, the immense grief to lose all of your children, all of your belongings, everything, it's gone. Your familiar friends mocking you, wondering what wrong you've done. Your wife telling you to curse God and die. Yet Job trusted God. He trusted God through it all. And you know what happened to Job? He reigned. He reigned with a double portion. God didn't just give him what he had. He doubled it. God knows what he's doing with you. He knows what he's doing with you. We're in the time of the double portion. We're in the time of the much, the more. And God specifically is giving each and every one of us our adversities, that without them, we could never take the throne with him. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a crossroad that is always there. David saw it. In such great failure of adultery and murder and lying and deceit, yet he did not withdraw. He trusted God and he reigned. And he reigned and is still today the greatest of the kings of Israel. And I'm sure he was just as quiet at the crossroad that each and every one of us are at today. And it's going to either be, do you withdraw in defeat, or do you go on into assured victory? Assured. See, the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ finished it. The Word of God tells us that the victory has been won. The battle is the Lord's. And thanks be to God, I enter into that victory by believing God. By grace, it should be the easiest of choices. But yet, God help us in our unbelief, that the giant was too big, the hurt was too great, the storm was too fierce. Help me to lock into the Word of God. My God is able. Now, one of the most glowing examples of this truth is in a precious little sister, our little sister. Her name was Ruth. Her statement to Naomi should ring in the hearts of all of us till Jesus come and throughout eternity. And in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth says to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't encourage me to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Oh, hallelujah. See, Ruth had a sister-in-law. She was in the same place as Ruth. They had both lost everything. Their father-in-law had died. Their husbands had died. There had been great famine in the land. All of their provisions were gone. But that sister-in-law, in the same situation, her choice was to withdraw. She had heard Naomi encourage both of them, go back to what you know. Go back and try to find some type of life. And her sister-in-law went after that. That's what she heard. She made the choice to withdraw. She could blame it on Naomi, but there was no one else to blame. It was still her that made the decision. And there will always be people there ready to defeat you. They may even be family. They may be people that are so close to you that you think that they're doing you good. But when you have anybody encourage your life to withdraw, especially from Paul's gospel, they are hurting you. They are harming you more than anyone could ever harm you. You have a crown because of the blood of Jesus. And he wants you to go on, and he wants you to win, and to win him, and to go through every storm, to go through every battle. By the grace of God, he's already prepared the way. Now take it on. Ruth, in her adversity and her sorrow, she embraced the Lord even more. She reigned, and she reigned as the Redeemer's wife. I think I'm seeing a lot of the Redeemer's wife here today. Is it you? Now, I'm going to be honest. You can be honest with me. We don't look like much. Just don't. Had a lot of failure out here, a lot of disappointment. Oftentimes don't even act like a Christian. But I thank God I am. I thank God I know I got a calling. I thank God I know I'm chosen. I just thank him. I know I fail. I know I don't make the right decisions. But I'll tell you something, there's something about grace. And not just that he's forgiven me. I got past that brazen altar a long time ago. I've been sitting in a room looking at cherubim for a large portion of my life. And I'm not confused about what I see in them curtains anymore. I'm not. I'm seeing myself in the heavenly, sisters. You know what I'm saying? That's me up there. Hallelujah. I know that's for me. He's taken that veil away, and praise be to God, I'm back in there in the Holy of Holies. He's seen me back there in ages past. Coming right out of that beaten gold with him. Rejoicing, praise God, in the power, the beauty, the sanctification in the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, let the Lord have us to respond as the champions. This is God's pattern. This is God's pattern of suffering together to reign with him. And it never changes. We're always on the path of adversity. There is no other path for us. There is no other path. You're being tried, you're on the right path. You're being hit, abused, you got storms coming, man, you're on the mark. Devil's not bothering you, you're in a bad way. I've had people say, oh, the devil doesn't even bother me. My faith is so strong. Oh, he's got you hypnotized, looking in a mirror at yourself, and you're so consumed, he's leading you right over to the palm wavers. Aren't you glad you're a vessel of mercy? Almost can't get my eyes off you, brother. Breathtaking. What God does with us and what he loves. God help us to want to be around one another. Now, how will we respond? Sweet David, we love him, don't we? What a precious brother. the runt of the litter, forgotten in a lot of ways. He's just happy in Jesus. He knew what God could do. He knew long time back, oh, God sent a lion and a bear. I'd take care of them because God told me. God didn't send me anything that he didn't take care of or have to me to be enable to take care of. Amen? Do you believe that? Or that was just a time for David. That was just a little magic moment for Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Don't be so stupid. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him get you over somewhere where this word isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't do it. I'm so full of the Spirit right now, I can't even tell you. You better pray for me. I'm about ready to come apart. People might not come back with what they see. But I have to let the Lord worry about that. Let the Lord use every event of your life. Every disappointment, every tragedy, to turn you more into the Word of God. I loved when the Lord put that on my heart, to turn you more into the Word of God. Listen to that. To turn you more into the Word of God. From glory to glory into the image of Him. That we would grow up into Him in all things. Every event to turn me more into the Word of God. How marvelous. Be as those stalwarts of faith, wouldn't you say? In the midst of the storm, they pressed into it. And they stood in the Word of God. I love to listen to their victory cry. Hebrews chapter 11. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Oh my, oh he's faithful. He's going to bring that good report out in us too, but it's going to be a better one. It's going to be a better one. He's given us a better thing. And I thank God we believe that. Paul found adversity where all the glory rested upon him. I thank God to know and to read about the overcoming eagles. They seek out the most fierce storms to soar the highest. Now you don't need to seek them out. God, he'll bring you into them. But let's not panic, amen? Did he not show us that with Peter? They were out there. God called the storm. There it was. Peter's walking along, but then the waves started bubbling out. Now, Peter, this is even going to get greater. You're walking on a calm sea. Now, let's walk on a stormy one. Oh, you're like I am. I only like to go with God when the going's good. Huh? Oh, I love walking on water when I can see right through it. And I'm just looking at all the pretty fish. That's not God's way. You're going to walk on a 50-foot wave, go right back down, and here comes the shark. That's even when it's more glorious walking on water. Now, Christ showed us this very early. He did. And he showed us this very clearly. See, man thought it was over on the cross. He thought it was the end. The devil thought he won. We know that. He's always stupid. Jesus is dead. It's over. Yet it was the pivotal place. It was the place where everything changed. And matter of fact, where it changed once and for all. It was finished right there. It was completely won for us. One. One, 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 one. Now, without the shame, without the guilt, without the adversity, without the death, there would have been no victory. So may we enter in by the grace of God, and may we enter in and embrace that victory right now. And here's where that victory is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 8. Here's the victory. We are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. Those little three verses right there, do you get your life? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jump on over to verse 17. Here's the conclusion. For our light affliction, all of that stuff is but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. See, all of that affliction, all of that trial, all of that adversity, what is it doing for you? It's working for you. It's working for you. Praise be to God, the Lord's called you to the owner of it. You're the owner of all that adversity. Praise God, it's working for you. Let it work. Let it work. And I'll tell you what, God's adversity, it works perfect. Perfect through suffering, perfect through trial, perfect through test. Come on. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I like that weight. I tell you, that crown. Ooh. You talk about value and weighty. Praise be to God. While we look not. See, here's the key. This is it. This is it. While we look not at the things which are seen. You want this of the champions. You want this of the full overcomer. You want this of the ruling and reigning. You want this, praise God, to be glorified together with Him. If you're looking at the things that are seen, those things which are not seen are not going to appear for you. Because you don't have that vision. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm glad today I see your crowns. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, champions are accustomed to one thing, overcoming. Amen? You accustomed to that, I pray? Yes, amen. Champions are tested, they're proved, they're tried, no matter the cost, no matter the setbacks. Champions overcome. Champions, by the grace of God, want more adversity. They want more opponents. That's a true champion. And that's the truth. Oh, yes. You don't become a champion and say, well, I just don't want to get at it anymore. That's no champion. That's called a one and done. Champions are thankful for what they have been given. What grace has been given to their life. They may not get it, but there is a testimony in it that they have that ability, that they have that fortitude. That's why the greatest of champions, they were tested time and time and time and time again. And let me tell you something, there's nothing on this earth that's even a champion. I'm speaking today by His grace to God's champions. I'm praying in Jesus' name, the Lord truly quicken us today in a quickening we've never had. That we come out of here. That there's something more beautiful in adversity than I'd ever seen before. That it's real to my life. That it doth not what it doth not appear what it shall be. But we know. Because my eyes are not on the things that are seen. Mine eyes are on that wondrous word that is all by faith. That all comes through believing. That all comes through hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This word is working effectually today. In all them that believe. It's the transforming power, praise God. Of the very life of Christ. The word, praise God, that was given to us to feed upon. As He said, feed of me and drink of me. Oh, hallelujah. With what He is growing up for Him. It's never easy being a champion. Especially the champions of faith. Because faith is always tried. Faith never sits still. Faith is always tried. Faith is always challenged. The most holy set apart faith will be tried in the highest degree. But God knows us. And He does not test us beyond what we can bear. But the one thing that we can know for certain, brethren, is God will always take us to the edge. I believe in one way, shape, or form, we've all come this year in many different ways to the edge. And I believe to the edge together. I'm glad we're one in Christ. I'm glad we come here in one spirit, in one praise, one mind, one goal, one hope of His calling. For us, praise God, a glorious body, waiting to hear the bridegroom's voice. We attend to that together. We encourage one another together. Praise God, He's given us an ear to hear. What He has said to His beloved, and we hear Him, and we know Him, and praise be to God, by faith we see Him leaping through the hills. He always brings us to the place where maybe we think He's gone too far, but yet Deuteronomy 8:2 tells us, God's promise, His way never changes. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Is He speaking to you? Do you remember all the way that the Lord thy God has led thee? Huh? Oh, all the way. These 40 years. Perfect testing all over the place in here. In the wilderness, no other place He tests. To what? To humble thee. And oh, how He has humbled us. Oh, the humbling. I believe the praise of mercy resounds in purity that it has never resounded in this place. All because of his perfect testing. In the wilderness, to humble thee, oh, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart. Do you think God needed to know what was in your heart? Or do you think you needed to know what was in your heart? Oh, I'm so thankful I know what's in my heart. I'm going to win Jesus, sis. I know what's in my heart, brothers. I mean, James, I know what's in my heart. And I love you. I know what's in your heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. But he said to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Well, I'll tell you what, Dwayne, I still see you. Debbie, you're still here. Here's my sweet brother, my sister. I'm still here. I believe I can thank him, Alex. He's proved in my heart. I love him. Isaac, I love him with you, with everything I got. Don't got much, but what I got is good enough for him. Matter of fact, Stephen, he's overwhelmed. Crown never looked better on you, Derek. I think he's done the work. I think he's done the work today. I just believe the Lord wants us to come sing, honeys, and we'll come praise the Lord together. How could we not respond, huh? Let's go.